You had Bayes and with Bayes. The third medium-sized line. The fourth word, Rabbanan and Amri. Again, we're on Yud Beis Amud Beis, page 24. The third medium-sized line. The fourth word is Rabbanan Amri. Now, we mentioned at the end of last time we were learning that someone who is embarrassed by something that they did wrong, they're forgiven for all their sins. Some explain it means you're only forgiven for that particular aver that you did wrong. That also, we end off explaining, does not mean you're not going to be off the hook. It might mean that Olam Haba, you'll be forgiven. But Olam Hazeh, you'll still get the punishment that you deserve. A person is on death row. A person could be embarrassed and feel terrible about their mistake, but they'll still be punished. But at least we're going to see an Olam Haba. The way we saw this was based on the story of Shaul. And before the words of Rabbanan, you see, it says "imi b'mi chatzasi in my machitzas," which was talking about that Shaul killed a city of Kohanim by the name of Nob, Novir HaKohanim, 85 Kohanim to be exact. And as it says in Sefer Shmuel, the significance of that, because we know Shaul wanted to kill David for various reasons, and he felt that the city of Nob and the high priest there, Ahimelech, was taking care of him, giving him food, gave him a sword, took good care of David, and therefore he wiped the whole city out. So because of this, when he later on needed to ask for help, right? He asked Shmuel, he revived him from the grave, beyond, right? He said, I asked all these different people, but it doesn't mention that he asked the Urim V'Tumim for assistance to find out whether he should be victorious in a war or not with the Plishtim. And the reason why, the Gemara said that he didn't mention the Urim V'Tumim is because he was humiliated, because he killed the Kohanim, so he doesn't want to talk about the Kohanim.
I know Zayn Mokdam Mokhar B'Torah, but if Shmuel is already dead, he already screwed up part of my friends with Agag. They didn't kill Agag. So right already there, he knew this Malucha was taking him. So this has got to be after the fact. He was already a non-entity.
Shaul was, right, this was already after that Shaul was made enough mistakes that he was no longer going to remain king.
Exactly.
And David was going to take over the position. But Shaul wasn't very happy about that whole story. And he wanted to kill David because he felt that David was Mord B'Malchus, a rebel against the throne.
That's how
the story unfolds over there, at least.
The concept of you do an act by Mazin.
Right.
Mazin. How can you be embarrassed by that act?
Later on.
After a Yad Harata. You know, at the time, you weren't embarrassed. And he said, what did I do? I can't believe I did that. You never had a thought. You did something. You consciously had a thought. You said, why did I do that? You may have said something, you may have done something that you consciously knew you were doing at the time, and after the fact you have...
Criminal remorse.
Right.
Is it true remorse?
Some people have true remorse. You can't be such a cynic and think that some people aren't remorseful. Yes, not everybody is, but some people have to be remorseful.
Right. And in fact, when we see that he was having a conversation with only himself and Shmuel, and he... when it was completely embarrassed about the whole thing that he did. He didn't want to even mention anything about Kohanim.
Yeah, but that was like Shmuel's ghost he had in the thing. I mean, Shmuel was dead.
But you see that it was genuine, because who was he impressing? Right? So that shows that he was, in fact, remorseful and embarrassed. And then it said that Shmuel told Shaul, tomorrow, Macharata Uvanecha Imi, you and your children will be with me, which is not such a great thing, which means you're going to die. But at least the good thing is, you'll be in my Machitza, you'll be together with me, you'll be on the same level in the world to come. Which means, you'll be forgiven on some level, at least in the Olam Haba, for your mistake, because we see you had remorse.
But don't we say, like the people get our Arba, we learn Sanhedrin Arba, or we get Malchus, that the whatever it is, Hila Herik is a kapara. And that makes you clean and wipes the slate clean, so to speak. Seriously,
that could be part of.
And so, in the world to come, your clean as.
Yeah,
as
but then how did Shaul die? In battle,
yeah.
It wasn't a judgment. The judgment made in advance. It wasn't skila, cherub, chenek.
It was kind of it's a misa de shemayim, if you want to call it. Shemayim decreed because he didn't kill a god, he was going to die.
I'm having a problem with this.
Well, we didn't start the first line word yet, so
we're in background.
We're in big trouble.
So we're waiting for Dr. Guy.
Now we can begin.
Right.
Okay, so as we started off, we're on the third line on Yud Beis and Mud Beis, the fourth word, Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan give a different interpretation to show that Shaul was forgiven. Rabbanan Ami Mahacha. From here, we're going to read these. This pasuk, and then we're going to need to see this relatively long Rashi. Okay, pasuk says, "V'hukunam Hashem begiva Shaul b'chir Hashem," that we will be hung. We're going to hang them, referring to Shaul and his children. B'chir Hashem, you are the chosen one. That doesn't make any sense. Who on earth is the one who's saying Bechir Hashem? So the Gemara says, Yatsa Baskol B'Amra Bechir Hashem. A heavenly voice came forward and said, Bechir Hashem, you're the chosen one. So look at Rashi. It's a long Rashi, but it tells us a little bit behind the scenes of who's talking over here. We see the Rashi, who called him, that, which is to hang them. Who is speaking over here? So Rashi says, Givonim, it's like in the middle of the Amud. The Givonim, Amru with David, Besof Yamav, that the Givonim were speaking to David at the end of his days. Shahayurav Gimel Shanim, there was a terrible famine. Vayishol David Bahashem, and he was asking something on there to get some divine inspiration. Vayamar Hashem al Shaul, and Hashem said to Shaul, El Beis. Adamim al asher hemis es hagivonim, shaharigas hakohanim, shahayu maspikim with givonim lechem umayim. The givonim were obviously not very wealthy people, and the only way that they were actually able to be supported was by this group of kohanim who lived in Nov. Now, unfortunately, when the city of Nov were destroyed, the people no longer had any food anymore, the givonim, that is. And who were the Gavonim? So Rashi says, Shagavonim Nasnim Yeshua, because this group of people came to in the days of Yeshua, and they persuaded him to convert. They seemed like they were really sincere. And what did Yeshua make them? Woodchoppers, water carriers, Lemizbeah. B'yomer David El Hagavonim. So David said, how can we have some form of atonement for this? Even though David wasn't the one that killed them, but indirectly, because David went to that city where the Kohanim were to seek refuge, and because the Kohanim took care of David, Shaul killed, wiped them out. So they also considered David to be responsible. So he said, with what can there be a kapara? Uvarchu es nachas Hashem. The Hamamru lo, and they said, Yutan the one who shivas anashim mibanav, give us seven men from among your children, your sons, and hukanam begivas shol, and I want them to be hung in this particular specific place. Ubas kol yatsa. Then the heavenly voice came out, the sarma, and concluded nachreihem bechir Hashem, that this is the. That this is the chosen one of Hashem. What was that?
It's God's choice.
Okay. Devadei heim lo amru b'chir Hashem. Certainly the Gavonim didn't praise him by saying that he was God's chosen one or God's choice. Shahari l'gnuso ha'yiboyin v'luch v'odom. They didn't come to praise him, but rather to slander him. And therefore, we see from this message that when Shaul, they mentioned about the place of Shaul, he was called the Bechir Hashem. Why was he called the Bechir Hashem? It was the Baskel, a heavenly voice, saying, that he was forgiven, but the fact that he had embarrassment for having harmed and killing the city, wiping out the city of Nob. Okay. Anyway, let's move on.
Which is the side of the Mishkan.
Which was the... Right, that's right. Okay. That's where he went. That's where David went to get food. And they gave him lechem upon him because he was starving to death as he was running away. Okay, let's continue the Gemara. Now, Gemara will now go back to the idea of Kriyat Shema. Omer Rav Avo ben Zutrasi. Omer Rav Yehuda bar Zvida says as follows. Bikshu l'kvoa parshas Balak v'Kriyat Shema. They initially wanted to place the parsha of certain section of Balak into Kriyat Shema. Right? We would have actually been reading about Balak for some reason. Why? Why would we want to read about Balak as part of Kriyat Shema? Name Malok. First, I have to understand why we didn't establish it. So the Gemara says, "Name Malok Kabua." Why wasn't it established? Mishum Karech Tzibor, because it would cause undue pain to the people that want to run out of shul. It'd be a very long davening, a very long service of reading this whole long section about Balak. So then, because of Tircha de Tzibura, it was not included. We're going to have to explain what on earth that means in a second. Right.
I mean, who is Balak that we should want to put him in Shema?
Oh, okay. So that's what the Gemara is going to now ask. My time. Why? In a, why?
Give me a chumash.
Which one?
About the Gemara.
So, as we understand or don't understand the idea of Tircha de Tzibura, because it's such a long section, but why would we want to read about it to begin with? So the Gemara says like this, my Tama, Elaim, if you want to tell me, Mishum Dechsibah, because it's written there, Kel Motziyam Mimitzrayim. What does it say? The God that took us out from Egypt. Right? This is in Parakuf Gimel. So, it makes sense. We want to mention about Yisias Mitzrayim. That's what we do in the third paragraph of Kriyat Shema, the right. Paragraph of Tzitzis. And that's what it talks about in Parshas Balak. So let's use that. So this is, well, according to that logic, if you only want to find a Parsha and institute as part of the Kriyat Shema because it mentions something about Yisias Mitzrayim, Lema Parshas Ribbis, Uparshas Mashkalos. You can mention other sections in the Torah, such as Ribbis, charging interest, Parshas Mashkalos, about business transaction, forbidden weights, Tichsiba Yisias Mitzrayim. It mentions the exodus of Egypt there as well. So that cannot be the lone reason why we would think to put Parshas Balak as part of the Kriyat Shema. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you a different reason why we thought to do it. El Amrav Yosi Bar Avin Mishum Nechsiv Bar, because it's written Haikra. If you look, not in Perichav Gimel, but the next Perich, Pasachav Da, Perichav Dalad, the 24th Perich, it says, Kareya Shachav Ka'ari V'Kalavi Imikimenu. Now one of the things that Bilam said, hoping to curse the Jewish people, turning into a bracha, he says that we shall settle and we should lie down just like the lion and just like the little cub. Who can stir him up? Who can arouse him? So that pasuk, which is really talking about the greatness and the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we see in it the concept of Kriyat Shema, B'shach B'chav Kumecha, that it says, just like the lion, the crouching lion, lying down, and then the end of the pasuk says, Yekimenu, getting up. So therefore, Hashem, which can be compared to a lion, I guess, it's the idea, B'shach B'chav Kumecha, and therefore, because of that, it's a very, very important section to read. But because of its being so incredibly long, and people would get very angry that it would be part of the davening, it would cause tremendous tircha de tzibura, having such a long part of the section of the davening, it was not instituted. We're going to have to explain what that means, tircha de tzibura, because we have to understand what is in it instead. Instead of Parshas Balak, we read the Parshas Tzitzis, the third paragraph. So the question is, why is that not Tircha de Tzibura? So we're going to explain that in a second. But when we'll get to that piece of Gemara, that next piece of Gemara before the Mishnah, it'll make more sense. Because of Tircha de Tzibura, we have no interest in reading this whole section of Parshas Balak. So ask the Gemara, Vilema Hai Psuka Vasulo. If that's such a great pasuk, then just read that one pasuk, and that's it. What's the whole idea of the whole reason why you want us to read Parshas Balak is because of this one pasuk? So just read that one pasuk. So our answer is Gemir. You have a tradition. Kol Parsha De Paska Moshe Rabbeinu Paskina. Any parsha that's been divided by Moshe himself, we also have the right to chop it up and take it out of context. The Lo Pasuk. But the lo paska Moshe Rabbeinu lo paskinan, which means that when it comes to our davening, which is difficult because a lot of our davening is just a pasuk here, a pasuk there, but when it comes to, let's say at least when it comes to the Kriya Shema, it has to be an entire section. You have to read the entire paragraph, or the entire section. So, if it would be that Moshe Rabbeinu would have allowed us to recite just one or two psukim, yeah, and take it out of the context of an entire parsha, entire paragraph, then that would have been okay. But since that we do not have that tradition, it would be necessary to read the entire section just to get to this one pasuk is not enough. So the idea of Tircha de Tzibura is not that, you know, we really can't, well, I mean, Tircha de Tzibura, davening is 40 minutes anyway, so it's another minute. But the idea is that every part of the davening is supposed to be extremely meaningful. It's supposed to have meaning. But if this whole section is only being read just to get to one sentence, then really everything else up until that point is, I don't want to say it this way, but it's almost like a waste. Yeah, it's that not whole, part of the davening.
That whole paragraph is awesome. It's looking nice. It's talking about Balak, about how negative it is and everything else. It's not right. Just Shevach Hashem.
Right.
Right,
so it's that, but that may be the idea of what Tircha de Tzibura, because it's not part of the davening, it's completely
perfluous.
Out of, right.
It's not superfluous, it's a negative concept there. So
but that's
a memory.
It's according to Bilam.
It's about Bilam, but it's not right.
But Balak hired Bilam.
The reality is, we kind of do read this. It's brought down in the Sefer Lev Simcha that's the reason why, based on this Gemara, some have the minhag, the very beginning of the davening, to recite the pasuk of Ma Tovu Alech Yaakov Mishchanasach Yisrael. Some say this, the reason why we say that pasuk is to kind of allude to this idea of the mentioning of the section of Balak, which is interesting.
They said that, Balak of Bilam said this, Ma Tovu Alech Yaakov.
Right, so this is kind of like connects back to this section, even though that's not the reason why it would have been inserted into the Kriya Shema, but at least we allude to it there. And it's also brought, some people, it says that, or Machbid, not to say Matova because it's about Bilam or Russia. Why would you want it? Which is an unbelievable thing that's part of our davening. But it says, our Chazal tell us, quoting Gemara in Sanhedrin, the end of Sanhedrin, the Kol HaBrachos Chazra Klala. Every bracha that Bilam gave to us, turned to a curse. Chutz mibati kinesios mibati midrashos. Only exception was the bracha of Matovu, which was the idea of sneas, that the doors do not open to each one. That was the only one which was miskayim, that he gave that bracha remained, for whatever reason. Therefore he says, Vimkein Yotza, since this went out of the context of the klala, the bracha, which remained a bracha, that's therefore Lachin Shaper Eshul Omra. That's the reason why that's the only thing we recite and nothing else in our davening, because everything else became a klala. But some explain again that this alludes to this piece of Gemara, which, continuing in that line of thought, explains the next piece of Gemara. The next piece of Gemara is now going to go into the third paragraph of Mitzvah Tzitzis. The question is, why do we then say the paragraph of Tzitzis? Because it mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim. So what? So does Parshas Balak. So we're going to see, because it has in it many elements, other things as well, it's no longer Tiyurka Ditzibur. It's something which is relevant.
The existence is within the Tayag, except in Tayag Mitzvahs.
Right.
So except in Kula, so that's the reason for that.
Right. Right, we're going to see that's going to be one of the six reasons why we say the third paragraph of the Parsha Tzitzis. And therefore that would therefore explain that there's more of a reason to recite this paragraph over the Parsha of Parsha's Balak. So let's see the Gemara. The Gemara says, Parsha Tzitzis, Nimah Kavua, why was it instituted as part of the Kriya Shema? Because if you think about it, first of all, the mezuzahs that we have is just the first two paragraphs. Because the first two paragraphs says Utsavta. In addition, the first two paragraphs are the ones that say Meshach B'chav Kamecha. Third paragraph seems to be completely out of place. Okay. So what's the significance of its particular order? And if you want to even ask another question, which is interesting, is that as the Gemara is going to discuss later on, the order of the three paragraphs, because the first paragraph is in Parshas Veschana, right, which is the beginning of Sefer Devar. And then afterwards, Vayim Shmoa comes later, the next Parsha, Parshas Ekev, which is in order. Then also the third paragraph comes from Parshas Shlach, which is in Sefer Minim. It's like completely out of order, right? It's very strange. We're going to talk about why that's the case. But you see that the third paragraph is completely different. So why do we say the third paragraph of the Shema at all? So Parsha Tzitzis Mevi Makabua. So Amar Yehuda Bar Chaviva. So Yehuda Bar Chaviva says Mevnei Sheishba Chamish Devarim. There's five things. There's five special things about this paragraph. So let's count the five things. Mitzvahs Tzitzis. It's one. Okay, it's an obvious one. Yisias Mitzrayim, left Egypt. All mitzvahs, the yoke of accepting all the mitzvahs upon us. That's three. Vadas Minim, the people who were the Minim, who were anti-Torah and persuaded people to go against Torah and mitzvahs. That's number four. Vihirhor Avera, those who sin in their thoughts. Vihirhor Avodah Zarah, and those who sin by worshipping idols. So those are the Chamisha Devarim. So I purposely stopped at four. There's only six, right? So if you look on the side over here in your Gemara, at least in mine, you'll see where when the Gemara said Chamish Devarim, there's an asterisk next to the word Chamisha. If you go to the left, it says Shisha, because there really are six things. That's one explanation. Some actually explain that Hir Hor Avodah Zarah and Das Minim are the same thing. It's really Hir Hor Avodah Zarah, idol worship, thoughts of idol worship, which is also conformed of Avodah Zarah, and Das Minim is also the mindset of the Minim, which were also anti-Torah, those who are also involved in idol worship. So some say that those are really the same, so it's really five. Another explanation is as follows. There really are six. So why does it say Chamish Devar? Why does it say there's five things in the third paragraph of the Shema? Because this paragraph is contrasting it to the previous Gemara. The previous Gemara said that we should really mention Parshas Balak. But we don't mention Parshas Balak because of Tircha Ditzibur. It's going to be too much, whatever. Or a lot of it is not appropriate for the davening. But why did we mention one of the reasons what was special about Parshas Balak? Because the pasuk over there says Kel Motziim Mitzrayim, Hashem took us out of Egypt. So some explain, of course, the third paragraph in Tzitzis has six things, but one of those six things exactly. So therefore, Chamish Devarim, because of five additional reasons, that's the reason why we say Tzitzis over Parshas Balak, because it has five things that Parshas Balak doesn't have. That's how some people interpret that Gemara of Chamish Devarim. Okay, whichever way I want to slice it. Okay. All right. Now, Bishlamam, Hani Tlas, I can understand these three. It's Aramaic, it's Asaf, and a Shin to Hebrew is Shalosh. Hani Tlas, these three, Mefarshim. Those are very explicit, very obvious, these three. Old mitzvos. First of all, when it comes to the yoke of mitzvos d'chsiv, which Steve you mentioned, you look at the tzitzis and you're supposed to remember all of Hashem's mitzvos. Okay. Tzitzis, that's a slam dunk. D'chsiv yasalem tzitzis, right? It says it there more than once. Yisis Mitzrayim is also pretty obvious. D'chsiv, the last pasuk, Asher Hoseisi. These other three, where do we find this in this paragraph?
Right.
So your question is which one is for which? Right. Well, that's what we're gonna use that. Right. Sanya, we learn the verse that says like this. Acharei levavchem zu minus. Going after your heart. This refers to the person who's in the minos, who were engaged in idol worship, in corrupt ways of thinking. V'cheinu Omer, and so it says, Omer Novel says the foolish person, Belibo, in his heart, Ein Elohim, there is no God. So some of the Farshim ask, what does this mean? Acharei levavchem zuminus, right? How come, Acharei levavchem, you go after your heart in a sinful way, that's only referring to a person who does not believe in God, or has these improper thoughts. So he says, because the nature of a human being when they sin is normally... Correct. We have this negative, it's inbred within ourselves. But what causes a person to do a particular avera? So the first thing a person does is their eyes see. What comes first? Your eyes see, and then your heart desires, then you do it. Look how it's said in the Kriya Shema, in the third paragraph of the Shema. What does it say? V'los asuru. Strange. It's out of order. It shouldn't say v'los asuru. Do not go after your heart and go after your eyes. Normally...
However, it does say a resim or some first. Even though it's referring to the mitzvah, but we already see the scene. You look at them...
That's so the mitzvahs.
The mitzvahs, but also the same way you look at the mitzvahs, we also look at the veros.
Okay.
So you could technically say the recent one right. First.
Okay. It's possible. Okay. But this is how some other people interpret it. It's if you look at it, those words seems to be the opposite of the way a person does. A person usually goes after their eyes, then their heart.
To get the predisposition first.
So that's what Stephen's saying, that when it's part of you already.
Right.
It starts off that way.
It's the time you're born, you have these evil inclinations.
So along those lines, that's what this pasuk means. Omer Novel Belibo Ein Elohim. When it comes to a person sinning as far as not believing in God, it's not something which they see. It's a philosophy. It's something which is in their minds or in their hearts. It's a belief system. So therefore, that's the reason why, some explain, it's written out of order, first, because it's first in your mind. It's a philosophy. It's a thought. It's something which is a negative thought. And that can only be zuminus. When it comes to a taiva, you want to get a cheeseburger or something, it's the opposite. It's first your eyes, then your heart. So therefore, that's why the Gemara learns out, Acharei Levavchem is referring specifically to Zuminus, someone who is a negative and inappropriate philosophy, which is anti-Torah. Okay, that's the interpretation of Acharei Levavchem. And then it says, Acharei Nechem, Zeh Hirhor Aver. This is someone who has an improper thought for sin. And even, because you didn't say anything, but you're seeing something, which in turn causes you to do an aveira. Shnemar, as the pasuk says, V'yomer Shimshon el Aviv, that Shimshon said to his father, Osa kachli ki hi yishar be'enai. This girl is a beautiful girl. She looks great in my eyes, and I want her. So we see from here that this is here her aveira. Person sees and therefore wants. And then the pasuk says, Atem zonim, that you went astray, ze hirhor avodah zaru. This is referring to the thoughts of idol worship. V'cheinu omer, and so too it says, v'yiznu acharei habalim, and that they went after and they strayed against the balim, which is a form of Avodah Zarah. And we mentioned some time ago in Parsha Shlach that it's interesting that this paragraph is in Parsha Shlach at the end. And what does Parsha Shlach talk about? The spies. It talks about the spies. And what are the spies called? Right? They're not called Meraglim, which a lot of people think. The Meraglim, that name is introduced in Sefer Devarim. They have the exact same word, the same language, as the third paragraph of the Shema. That was it?
The Torah.
Exactly. And over in the exact same paragraph about the mitzvah of tzitzis, it says Lo sasur achrei levavachem. So the idea, some explain, is that the end kind of fixes up their mistake, that they strayed with their touring, and therefore Lo sasur achrei levavachem. Therefore, we have to learn from their mistake in the same parsha of the Meraglim that we should not do the same thing. Okay. So, but those are the things which make the third paragraph of Shema, because of all these special things which are part of the Shema. Also, it talks about Ol Malchus Shemayim, accepting the mitzvos, which is the second paragraph. So the third paragraph really also has this element of following the mitzvos and guarding yourself from Aver. Okay. Now, before we jump into this Mishnah in preparation for Pesach, which we'll see, this is probably one. This is the most famous Mishnah.
Wait, by the way, one other thing. This is not original, but Tosfos says that all the three Ten Commandments are taken out of these three different partials.
Yes.
Shema. So therefore, that's how they come together as one, because the tzitzis and by Avahavta and Oyav Shomo, each one has its own parts that are, you know, relative to the Aseret Sedevos.
And Rashi, Tosfos mentioned that the limit right. Of the entire.
Exactly.
Right. So let's see that little Tosfos. The little Tosfos says the first three lines is just the Dibra Hamadchil, and then it says Isa, three lines, the third to the last line, Isa Yerushalmi, Dos and Gimel Parshios. The three paragraphs of the Shema should tiknu b'kriya Shema. Why did we establish those three? Lafi shebehen aseres hadibros. Those correspond to the Decalogue. And for those who are curious to figure out what on earth, how do we see that? Some of them are really nice, and some of them may sound like a stretch. But this is what they are. In the Shema, we begin Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. So that's Anochi. Anochi Hashem. And then it says Hashem Echad. What does that mean, Hashem Echad? Coming to exclude
any others.
Lo Yelecha. Other items. Then it says, V'yahavta Hashem Elokecha. Love Hashem. Keneged Lo Sisa. That's opposite, not saying Hashem's name. Why? It says, the man derachim l'malcha, someone who shows respect to a king, lo mishtama mishmei l'shaker. They're not going to mention their name constantly, and they're not going to just use it, you know, freely, falsely. Shabbos, how do we Shabbos? This one, listen to Shabbos. Yeah, because this is V'asi Semis, kol mitzvosai, you should do all my mitzvos, and Rebbe says, Zu Shabbos, because Shabbos is shakul keneged kol mitzvos. Person keeps Shabbos, it's like you kept all the mitzvos.
So Zohar is Yom HaShabbos, and the Matiskru, Zohar,
oh, they're both.
And Zohar is the same word, same shorosh.
It's very good. He doesn't say that here, but that's a good point.
Rabbi Sproul says.
Oh, Shkoyach. The fifth of the Aseres Hadibros is of Kaved et Avicha, honoring one's parents, keneged l'man yirbu yameichem, because both of them have a richa shomim.
Right.
Okay? Lo tirtzach, don't murder, is a remez, and the pasuk is v'avadate mehero, you'll be quickly destroyed, because the man dekatel matkil. Midikanein me, the person who kills will be killed. Okay, so therefore you'll be wiped off. That's what it means. V'avadat and hera, lo sinach, adultery is blos asuru achrei levavchem v'achreinechem, which is the third paragraph. So that's how we see the connection of why we need the third paragraph for lo sinach. Lo signov, I like number 8 and number 10, my favorite. Lo signov, not stealing, kidnapping, is a hint in this paragraph. It says v'yosafta digonecha. You should gather up your grains. Lo shel acher, not someone else. Lo sane, when it comes to bearing false witness, is a hint from Hashem Elokeichem Emes. Again, the third paragraph. What does that mean? Because Hashem says, "Im atam meid al chavercha eda sheker." If you give false testimony, kiel meid atoy lie. It's like you're testifying against me. Shel barasi shemayim aretz. Like I didn't create the heavens and the earth. That's what it says. So therefore, Hashem okechem emes. You also, when you testify, you also have to speak truthfully. You have to testify truthfully. And my favorite one is number 10. Lo sachmot. You're not allowed to desire, because what does it say? By the mezuzah, where are you supposed to put the mezuzah? Uksavtem al mezuzah beisecha, on your house. Velo al beis chavercha. Don't worry about your friend's house. Oh, I wish I could put my mezuzah up there. So therefore, we see, as mentioned in Tosfos, that in fact, those three paragraphs are necessary to connect the Aseret HaDibros. Because if we wouldn't have the third paragraph, you'd be missing two of them, namely, lo sinof of adultery, as well as number 9 about bearing false witness. Okay, so that was the Tosfos and the little extra. All right, let's prepare for Pesach for a few minutes. All right, so we see the Mishnah in preparation for our Haggadah. Okay, now according to on Shavuos HaGadol, it's the minhag for some people to read some of the Haggadah. Some people, like the Vilna Gaon, they're nohig not to read the Haggadah, so that it's by Yomahu, it's fresh. It's like, yeah. Okay. Well, it's not Shavuos HaGadol, let's see this Mishnah. Maskirin Yesias Mitzrayim Belelos. You're supposed to mention the Yesias Mitzrayim at night. And some people ask, why does it say Maskirin? It should say, you recite the Yesias Mitzrayim. So because, what does it say in the third paragraph of the Shema? It says the same Lashon. It says, Laman Tizkor. So there's an idea of maskirin. That's the reason why the Mishnah specifically says that. Maskirin Yesias Mitzrayim Belelos. Omer Belezer ben Azariah. It's a little teenage kid who's 18 years old. He also happened to be the Nasi at the time. But nonetheless, Belezer ben Azariah said, Hare ani kaben shivim shana, behold, I am like a man of 70 years. Vozachisi shitemri Yesias Mitzrayim Belelos. I never merited to understand how we knew that a person should actually have to mention Hashem leaving us leaving Mitzrayim at night. After all, in reality, we didn't leave Mitzrayim at night. We left. There was an element of Geula at night, but we didn't actually physically leave until Ad Etzem Hayom Hazeh during the day. So the day, I understand why you mentioned Yesias Mitzrayim, because that's what happened. That's when it happened. So we have the external stimuli to look outside and say, oh, I remember way back when, 3,300 some odd years ago. But night? Why? Ashadarsha ben Zoma. Once ben Zoma came around, he was able to darshan the famous pasuk of Oman Tizkor to teach us that you have to say the Shema also at night. or you see us Mitzrayim, rather, at night. Shinemar, as it says, Oman Tizkor is Yom Seitzcha Meretz Mitzrayim Ko Yimei Achayacha. In order you should remember the going out of Mitzrayim all the days of your life. So why does it say Koil? It's right, Yimei Achayacha Hayomim. Kol Yimei Achayacha HaLeilo. So what does it mean all? Why does it have to say the word Kol? Just say the word words Yimei Chayecha, the days of your life. And it's Yimei. You'll know you have to mention it during the day. Kol means all the time. Even at night. That's what the Kol means. Kol means basically you're always saying it. Every point of your day. Whether it's day or night. That's the idea of Kol. Okay? However, not everyone agreed to this drasha of Ben Zoma, which we're going to discuss in greater detail next week. And according to the opinion of the Chachamim, Kol is lehevi limos Mashiach. It's coming to include even in the days of Mashiach, when there's going to be a greater geula, there's going to be greater things to talk about. Nonetheless, we still have to allude to Yesias Mitzrayim, even though it's not going to be the greatest thing. It's not going to be the forefront of our minds. We should not lose sight of the greatness that Hashem did for us. Let's conclude with one quick drasha. One last thought. On Haryani Kaben Shivim Shana. So what does it mean that I am like a person of 70 years? So the Gemara in the fourth parak talks about the tremendous miracle of when he was
17.
He was 18 years old, so he turned to a man of 70 overnight. Because after all, his wife said, how is anyone going to respect you? You look so young, you have no gray in your beard. So he went to sleep, and Hashem performed this nace. So it's brought down, and therefore that's what he says. Kiben Shivim Shana, he was like 70 years, but in fact he was obviously not 70 years, he was only He was only 18 years old at the time. Okay. Now, it's brought down by... It's in the Sefer Beis Yosef. He says, what's the significance of 70? Maybe he looked like a 75-year-old. Maybe he was 65. What's 75? What's 70? He says, Ki nishmas ha-blezim ha-nazariah ha-isa nitzus Shmuel ha-navi. Which is going back to what we spoke about. That he had the connection, a spiritual connection, if you want to say a reincarnation or whatever you want to say, to Shmuel ha-navi. What was so special about Shmuel ha-navi? Not talking about his life, but after when he passed away. Shemais, how old was Shmuel when he died? Shemais ben Nun Beis Shana. He died when he was 52 years old. That's how old Shmuel ha-navi was.
52 to the 18
years. Right. Shemino Reb. So Shmuel was the leader of his generation. He was the Nasi. He was the Navi. He was the leader. So now Elezim and Azariah, who was the most qualified at that time when he was 18 years old, Benimsa, Im Hanun Beishana Shal Shmuel Nishamu Ayan Shana. It equals the 70 years, and that's what it means Harani Kiben Ayan Shana. That's why he said, I am like a person of 70 years. Which some explain that in addition, what does that mean? Some magical number? What? So the idea of the nace was not necessarily when his wife said, where's your gray in your beard? She was saying, you're inexperienced to be the Nasi. Well, you don't Rambam, have the knowledge.
The Rambam, he has said something else. He says that he exerted himself such in the study of Torah and his youth that he didn't stop by day and by night.
Right.
He was physically spent like a 7 year because of so much time he spent studying Torah. His insides and everything, he was like as if he studied for 70 years.
Okay.
And that
it sounds like a very haughty thing for him to say, you know.
But the Hassam Sofa says it in the Rosh Yosef.
Okay. So that's a possibility for sure. You have to understand how he could just boast, I'm 18 and I mastered like I'm a 7 year old. It's possible. Another explanation, according to this mystical explanation, that not only did the nace happen that he physically grew gray in his beard, and therefore he physically looked older, but also when he became 70 years old, Kiben Shim Shana, that he took upon the greatness of Shmuel HaNavi, which means that he was also imbued with a certain level of knowledge and spirituality, in addition to the miracle of his physical growth of his beard, also the spiritual growth to be Kiben Shim Shana. It could be he learned also, he's obviously very knowledgeable. Some explain that was, in addition to that, his greatness that he overnight spiritually grew to the person of 70, miraculously as well. Okay. Chag Kosher Sameach.
No Shir next Monday night?
Not Monday night.
Next Monday night, I expect everyone to review this Mishnah.
Right.
And repeat it.
And to, yes.
Monday tomorrow.